Under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art Cop Radio.
Hello and welcome to Bart Cop Radio. My name's Bart. I've got no business behind the microphone, but those Nazi blowhards you hear wall-to-wall on the AM station don't either, so what the hell? We got a big, big show for you today. How do I know? Because Tommy Mack's in charge. Tommy Mack's the man. Gonna open up with a special shot of Chinako. Never been done before. We're gonna do a shot of the Wildflowers Chinako, just because we think today's extra special. Check this out. Oh, it is so much smoother than the regular Supreme A-plus Chinako. I just can't stand it. Okay, what number show is this? We don't know. Last show was number 19, but because we have a bonehead on this end, I titled it Show 20. So I don't know what to do. I'm in a panic. I'm in a quandary. I think we'll probably call this Show 21 because if I try to refix those links, I'll probably lose the radio shows. Can't have that. Too much went into it. Okay, so much to do. Let's get after it.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Get on top! Get on top!
Does John Stewart read bartcop.com? Does John or his staff get any of their ideas reading bartcop.com?
I believe that the Defense of Marriage Act that we pass in the Congress is constitutional.
Yes, Tom Daschle is a fervent supporter of the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act. And you know why? Because he appreciates the sanctity of marriage. When he divorced his first wife, it made him appreciate it all the more. Same with Joe Lieberman. He fought for the law to defend marriages because when his first one failed, he knew it was vulnerable. Also, Congressman Bob Barr, who sponsored the Defense of Marriage Act, was a law that he considered an important foundation for all three of his marriages. So I want to thank God for the Defense of Marriage Act. And if you remember, you guys didn't know where we were going on that one, did you? I could tell. The Defense of Marriage Act was ultimately signed by probably the most famous staunch defender of the sanctity of wedlock, President Bill Clinton.
Wesley Clark was on Dave last week, and boy, is he one impressive guy. He looks like a candidate, he talks like Bill Clinton. He's got amazing verbal and mental skills, unlike this monkey who stole his way into the White House. When Wesley Clark talks, it's a lot like hearing Clinton talk. He can start a 40 or 50 word sentence, and when he begins the sentence, he knows where the sentence is going to end. He knows that it's got a beginning, a middle, and an ending. He knows how to connect the three, and he actually knows what he's saying. Whereas the illegal monkey, the best he can do is chop it up into teeny tiny sentences that sound like, "We are here today to thank the brave men who are fighting so hard in faraway lands." That's how his mind works. That's all he can do. They give him these little four-word phrases, and he's often able to get all four words right at the same time, but he has no clue. He can't think. He doesn't know what he's doing. Wesley Clark, Bill Clinton, people like that, actually speak in a coherent way, whereas Monkey Boy, all he can do is read. I'd love to get a look at that teleprompter. It'd be fun to get a teleprompter tape or whatever that's called, to see those four words at a time coming up real slow so the monkey can catch it with his little monkey brain, his beady little monkey eyes, and his monkey mouth. Check out Wesley Clark here. We played a shorter version for the masses because I just can't put larger clips up there for dozens of people to click on. But this is the entire sentence or the entire answer he gave Dave when Dave asked the question.
Would we have Osama bin Laden if you had been president?
Yes, we would.
And why don't we have him under George Bush?
Well, it was a world-class bait and switch, to call it what it is. I mean, no retailer in America has ever done a better job of a program than this.
Really?
And What happened is, as best I can put together, and I've outlined some of it in the book, and of course we don't really know, but we do know this from published materials, that at the very time they were going to go after Afghanistan and take out the Taliban regime, they were also saying, well, let's get Saddam Hussein in the bargain, you know? Mm-hmm. And then as they started dropping bombs on Afghanistan, they began planning for Iraq. And at the time, we should have been planning to get Osama bin Laden. You know, he was in those mountains at Tora Bora. We didn't have a plan to do it. We didn't have the American forces in to do it. And we let him slip through the noose. And then we didn't put the forces in afterwards and the money in to really fix Afghanistan. We held back so we could get Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. Now we don't have either one of them. And what's happening in Afghanistan is the Taliban and Al-Qaeda are coming back. Coming back. Coming back.
Watching the JFK coverage last weekend reminded me of something. One of the most stupid things the Vulgar Pig Boys ever said. Shortly after JFK Jr.'s plane went into the sea, you know, the Vulgar Pig Boy, he can't leave anything alone. He couldn't grant the family, you know, 1% of any kind of dignity. No, he had to pile on like the son of a bitch he is. He talked about how Jackie and John Jr. conspired to present a political photo op for the cameras when little John saluted his father's casket. One of the problems with the Pig Boys' conspiracy theory is that, by definition, John was a two-year-old at the time. His third birthday was either the day of the funeral or the day after, so if he saluted his father's casket, the conspiracy would have had to have been done while he was a two-year-old. Now, how many political conspiracies are between two people and one of them's a two-year-old? Just the Vulgar Pig Boy shooting at vocal diarrhea again. He just can't help himself. He's got no respect for himself or anyone else on the planet. That's all he can do is sling shit at somebody else because his life is such hell.
Category tonight, top 10 signs Rush Limbaugh might not be ready to come back to work. Well, this is good news for broadcasting. Rush Limbaugh admitted that he was addicted to prescription painkillers, and he goes off to a rehab for 30 days, and Monday he'll be back on the job. We have information indicating he may not be ready to come back.
Oh.
Yeah, he may have a touch of the flu.
I see.
Top 10 signs Rush Limbaugh is not ready to come back to work. Here we go, number 10. Accidentally falls downstairs 2-3 times a day to get the pain pills. Number 9, named his two puppies Oxy and Contin.
Oh.
Number 8, keeps going up to the roof to see if he can fly like that guy from The Matrix. Number 7, thoroughly enjoyed last night's Becker. Number 6, he's currently following fish around the Pacific Northwest. Number 5, responds to all callers. Number 4, could swear he saw sheep being herded down Broadway. Number 3... Yesterday, he did a 3-hour show under the drive-thru speaker at Jack in the Box. Number 2, these days only 80% blow hard. And the number 1 sign Rush Limbaugh might not be ready to come back to work, released amateur sex video making love to himself.
Don't touch that dial. No, you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.